Well, good morning. Welcome. Thank you. I appreciate all of you today. So Matthew 24, verse 13, what we heard just now says this: he who endures to the end will be saved. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them, say, I'm going to endure to the end. Just tell them that. Say, I'm going to endure to the end. And then say this to them. Say, I know you're going to also. You're going to endure to the end. So the word endures, it means to endure with patience, or to patiently endure, or to persevere. And I think the number one quality that we need to make it to the end is perseverance, which could be defined as endurance. And the end is either the end of your life or when Jesus comes back. So we want to be ready for the end, whichever one of those things comes first. How many of you are maybe a little nervous about that, like maybe being deceived or maybe worried that you're not going to make it? Is there anybody that's kind of worried about that, like you're worried you're not going to make it to the end? You're worried that maybe you're not going to be able to endure? Anybody? Maybe one or two of you feel that way? Well, today I'm going to help you know how to make it to the end. And so from what we heard from Pastor Titus, it was a little bit hard to, by the way, did you hear the cows in the background? Wasn't that cool? Yeah. So one of the things that he said was that he's a teacher of eschatology, which is the teaching of end times. And there's a lot of false doctrine in Tanzania. You know, he's told me several times there's false teachers that go through to try to deceive people. There's false teaching that's around, just about all sorts of things. And so we really need to have sound doctrine and sound teaching and follow sound ministers to be able to make it to the end. And even this week, I heard a story of a pastor couple that I was friends with, familiar with, that were had a very formidable ministry, and I found out that they're not even serving the Lord anymore. They'd resigned their church. Not that that means that you're not going to serve the Lord anymore, but it was a step of them falling away from God. And it would be a couple that you'd look at, you'd say that there'd be no way that would ever happen. But the deal is, you guys, we're living in dangerous times. We're living in deceitful days, and we got to make sure that we are intact, that we endure to the end. And what I've discovered about my own personal walk with Jesus was that when I first got saved, I was really afraid that maybe I would be deceived by false teaching, or that I'd be deceived by false teachers. But now what I'm more concerned with is the condition of my heart. And what I mean by that is that I don't let bitterness, that I don't let unforgiveness, that I don't let resentment or discouragement creep into my heart to cause me to drift away. And of course, we need to be aware of false teaching. We need to be aware of false teachers. But if your heart's not right, you're going to be open to be discouraged and fall away from the Lord. So I want to make sure that my heart is intact so that I can make it to the end. Don't you? Aren't you? Don't you want that as well? So that's important. The word saved doesn't mean to just like save from your sin, but it means to save to the uttermost, to deliver, to protect, to preserve, to do well, to heal, and to be made whole. And so the idea of those who endure to the end will be saved. You and I will be saved completely and totally to the utmost, all the way from our sins, from sickness, from disease, from Satan, from discouragement, from all the things that are thrown at you and I. That's what we're going to be saved for, and that's the payoff that we can look forward to, is that if we endure to the end, listen, what we have to endure is nothing in comparison to what's waiting for us on the other side. Like, our part is pretty small. No matter how much you and I have to endure in this life, it is minimal compared to what is in store for you on the other side. And so I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. But in order to endure, from what the scripture says, we have to do three things. So you ready? Okay, before we get to that, we need to pray about it so that you'll make sure, that I make sure to receive what God wants to say to me today. And so, Lord, we do that. We want to do this word. We want to hear your voice, and we want to do your will. And so in this moment today, Lord, as we have paused in our schedule. We've come together to learn about your word and to be inspired. I pray that we would receive the revelation from heaven and that we would be able to take what we've learned today and apply it to our lives in a very, very practical way. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to give you the answers to the test before we even get to the test. All right, here's the answers. If you want to endure to the end, the very first thing you got to do is you got to know God. The second thing you got to do is that you got to hear his voice. And then third, you got to do his will. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. Number one, if you want to endure to the end, if you want to be saved, you want to make it to the other side, you got to hear his voice. You got to know him, you got to hear his voice, and then you got to do what he says. And so for many of us, that of course is a process. So let's talk about the first one, to know him. And when I talk about knowing him, I'm talking about really knowing him. Because he knows you. He knows everything about you. And our process is to know him more and more and more as we move ahead in our faith with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you by this. I want it to be a desire of your heart or a goal that you have to know him more next year than you know him this year. Could you say with all certainty that, Pastor, I know Jesus more this year than I did last year? Can you say that? Okay, now, could you say, I want to know Jesus more next month than I know him this month? I want to know him next year more than I know him this year. Make that a goal that you have. Make that something that you strive towards. Listen to what Daniel 11 says, verse 32. And this is talking about the Antichrist, because many of us are afraid of the Antichrist and of the things of the end. But listen to what it says. It says, he will flatter and win over those who have violated the covenant, but the people who know their God will be strong and be able to resist him. See, if you know your God and you listen to the voice of the Spirit and you do what God tells you to do, you don't have to worry about taking the mark of the beast. You don't have to worry about who the Antichrist is. You don't have to worry about any of that. If you do these three things, you'll endure to the end. And you'll be discerning and you'll know what God thinks about circumstances and situations that we face in this life. And so knowing him is a very intimate thing. But think about this for a moment. Knowing him, there's nothing greater in life than knowing Jesus. Nothing. And there's nothing more important in life than knowing Jesus. Like that is number one. That has to be your number one priority in life, is to know him more and more and more. John 17:3 says this, and this is the way to have eternal life. There it is, we heard it again. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. You see, there's nothing greater. There's no assignment that's bigger. There's no calling that's greater. There's nothing in life that's greater than this one thing. And if you do this one thing, these really build on each other, because if you know God, you're going to hear his voice and you're going to do his will. So if I were to categorize these, they really have to go in this order, because you got to know God. That has to be your primary objective in life, is to know him. But isn't it unfortunate that many of us, just like relationships that we have, we may have met somebody one time and we think we know them. So years ago, we went to the Republic of Moldova, and I got to meet the Vice President of Moldova. Shared niceties with him, you know, coffees and what have you. But if I were to call him today, he would say, now who are you? Where are you from? He's probably gone now. He's probably not even alive. But I have his card. Don't I know him? He gave me his card. Do I know him? He doesn't know me. You know why? Because I met him one time. And see, many of us base our relationship with God the same way. We met him one time. Or we had maybe a casual encounter with him, and we didn't progress in our relationship with him. And so we know him, we met him, but do you really know him? Do you really know him? You see, it happens more than we know, that knowing him is really a process. And the last verse of the last letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to the church says this: rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what my job is? One of my assignments is to help you know God. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not. I'm here to help you grow as a disciple. I'm here to help you in your growth, in your development, and your maturity as a believer. And in order to do that, you have to know Him. You have to position yourself for that to happen. And the word there that we find in 2 Peter means to grow in your grace and knowledge of knowing Him. The word grow means to enlarge or increase. It's like nonstop development or progress. He expects us to know Him more and more as disciples. That's the expectation that God has for us in our lives. Now think about it for a minute. If you had a little child or a baby and they quit developing, what would you do physically? If they quit developing physically, like their growth was stunted, like you take them to the doctor and you'd be like, what's wrong with my child? We got to figure this out. He's not progressing. She's not progressing. And what would they do? Well, they'd probably prescribe some steroids or different things to help the growth process take place. Can you imagine if you had a child and they quit developing emotionally? What would you do? You would be worried. You'd be concerned. You'd be like, I need to do something for my kid. I love my son. I love my daughter. I got to take them to somebody to see why they're not developing emotionally. And many times we don't see the importance of developing in our relationship with God. We don't see the importance of what it means to progress and to move forward. Can you imagine if you married somebody and, you know, you said, I do, you said, I love you, and then the relationship stopped right there? What would you do? Well, you'd probably need to go see somebody. You'd probably need to set an appointment with a counselor. The expectation is just because it happened here doesn't always mean that it's going to progress in what's next or that the relationship is going to be enhanced or to mature. We have to be intentional with the progress that we make in Christ Jesus. Just because we met Him one time doesn't mean that we know Him. Just because we met Him casually, or maybe we did have a tremendous life-altering change or experience, that has to progress into more and more knowledge and more intimacy with Him. It's very important that we do that. 1 Chronicles 28 says this, and these are the words that Solomon gave, or that David gave to Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And so David, his dad's given him some advice on how to be successful when he's gone. And this is what he says: and Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Do you see that? Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. And it gives us some ideas of how to do that. Look at what it says. Worship and serve Him. So you can learn to know Him through worship and through serving Him. He reveals Himself in that way. With your whole heart and a willing mind. How many of you know sometimes our minds aren't willing? Sometimes our hearts aren't in it. Has your heart ever not been in something and you kind of do it half-heartedly? Or your mind is not where it needs to be. God says, if you want to know me, your heart's got to be in it. You got to be fully invested. You got to be fully committed. You got to be all in. And you got to make sure that you have a willing mind. And then look what else it says. It says that if you seek Him, you'll find Him. But that's a qualifier. It says if you seek Him. Many of us don't seek Him. We just think it's going to happen, or we just think maybe we'll just get around to it, or if it feels right. Listen, if you seek Him, you will find Him, it says. But you got to do the seeking. It says, if you forsake Him, He'll reject you forever. And then listen to this little tag that is put on there in verse 10, the first part. Take this seriously. This is not to be trifled with. This is not to be played with. This is the most important thing in your life, to know God more and more and more as you and I progress. So what does that look like? I think we realize what he's done in the past. That's his word. When you read his word is when you really get to know him. You know what he thinks about things. You know his heart towards things. You know his character. You know his nature. That's what his word does. It shows us those type of things. It's a realization of how he feels about things or what God thinks about things. When you spend time with him, you get to know him. When you you position yourself to be in his presence, you spend time with him, you know him more and more and more. If you don't value a relationship, then you won't invest in it. You won't do it. You won't take the time that's necessary to invest in that relationship unless you decide that it's important, that you value it. What you value is what you will spend time on. What you value is what you will put your energy in. What you value is what you'll spend your money on. Do you value your relationship with Jesus? Is he the most important person in your life? Have you dedicated time set aside to be with him and to sit in his presence and to be with him? Or do you think that it's just gonna happen by itself? We have to take this serious, you guys. This is important. There's nothing greater than this in life. Number two is this. We have to hear his voice. How many of you know there's a lot of voices going around today? There's a lot of voices. Last week I told you mistakenly that in the book of Revelation it says it five times, it actually says it seven times. And this is what it says. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So seven times it says that phrase. And in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, there are seven words that God gives to seven churches that Jesus speaks. And a good bit of them, there's like what they're doing good. So he gives them the good news first, you know. And then some of them are corrected, not all of them. But there are some things that he also suggests that they do to get better. And then every single one of them ends with this phrase. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You see, it's important that we listen. And the assumption is that we're all able to listen. But how many of you know that hearing is different than listening? My wife says sometimes, well, did you hear me? I was like, yeah, I heard you, but I don't know what you said. Right? I heard you, but I can't repeat it back. You know why? Because I wasn't listening. When my kids were little, especially my second son, he would grab Deb's face so that she would listen to him. It was such a picture of how God wants us to interact with him. You know, that he wants our attention and that we want to get his attention as well. And I think it's important that we remember that just because we hear doesn't always mean that we're listening. How many of you have trouble making decisions? Does anybody have trouble making decisions? Maybe it's because I'm like this sometimes too, that I overthink things sometimes and I don't want to make a mistake, so I want to get it right, or I want to be perfect. But hearing can be audible or it can also be instinctive. Does that make sense? Many of us will never hear the audible voice of God. Many of us. Like, that's a very rare thing. Matter of fact, and I don't want to criticize anybody, but if someone were to come to me and said, I heard God's voice, like, audibly, there'd be just a little bit of, okay, I want to make sure this dude's okay, you know. But we all want to make room for that, don't we? We all want to hear the voice of God. But, you know, in Jesus' life, the voice from heaven only came like three times. In Jesus' life. So it's a very rare thing. It is possible, though. But you know what's more prevalent? What's more prevalent is the inner voice of God in your heart. It's called the still small voice. That's more prevalent for most of us as believers. It's an inward witness or a knowing. Some people would maybe even arguably say that it's your conscience. I'm not so sure about that, although I think that they can work together. But the important thing is that it's an internal realization of what God wants to say to you and me. It's like information downloaded from heaven into your heart and into your mind. That's called revelation. And it's revealed information. So if you have trouble making decisions, maybe we should just ask the Lord to help us hear his voice a little bit better. For me, if I know God has said something to me or told me something, normally I'm whatever happens, I'm all right with. Like people get mad at me or upset, but I know God, I know that I know that God's told me. I don't usually have a hard time with that. What I have a hard time with is where God trusts me to make the decision without speaking his voice in my mind or in my heart. For example, as a kid or even your own kids, they know what your will is and they don't always have to be told. Like they know not to lie, they know they shouldn't, you know, do this, or they know they need to watch for cars before they cross the street and whatever. They don't have to be told that every time, do they? No. They should know as they progress and mature that there are certain things that are just given in the culture and the family that you've created. It's the same way with the Lord. The Lord doesn't have to tell you every time to do or not to do things. There are certain things that you should already know because you've been in the Lord long enough. However, God trusts you to make the right decision. And many times we don't trust ourselves, but here's what I want to encourage you with. This is a bit off the subject, but it really fits. And that is this, that God is big enough to fix your mistakes even when you act in faith. If your heart's right, you want to please God, you're trying to hear his voice, but you don't have clarity. Maybe you don't have all the information, but you still got to move ahead. Is he big enough to fix your mistakes if you mess up? I believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even if you make a mistake, but you did it in faith, he's big enough to fix the problem or the mistake. Romans 10:17 said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So what have you ever wondered what keeps us from hearing? Whatever keeps you from hearing? So years ago, when we moved to San Antonio, I was doing a lot of work and I had to wear earplugs. And this is kind of gross, but what happened was it pushed earwax way down into my ears. You know, kind of gross. And one day I woke up and I couldn't hear out of one of my ears. And I was freaking out. Oh, I can't hear. You know, that whenever you mess with your ears, that's a very sensitive thing, isn't it? And so I tried everything. I couldn't clear it. So I went to the urgent care, and the nurse had this little device, and she got in there and she cleaned it out. And immediately I could hear, and I got up and I gave her a great big hug. I don't know if she ever had that happen to her before, but it was such a gift, you know. Sometimes our ears get clogged with clutter and noise. Sometimes we hurt our ears because we've been around, you know, machinery or loud noises or concerts or guns or whatever. It can damage your hearing. You see, sometimes our hearing gets damaged by life or by, you know, debris that's put in there. You know, all kinds of stories about bugs and such crawling in people's ears and what have you. But the thing is this, that God wants us to not just hear, but he wants us to listen. I was taking some medication one time and my hearing started to go, and a lady, I went to have my hearing test and she said, yeah, it's diminished. And she gave me a list of medications that can mess up your hearing. So I got off that stuff, man. It's not worth losing my hearing over, you know. But here's the thing, which, by the way, weed and whatever, you know, damages your ability to hear the voice of God. You don't need to walk around all numbed out all the time because it diminishes your ability to really hear what God wants to say to you. Medications and environmental things and what have you. But the important thing is this, that we know his voice. You guys, there's a lot of voices out there these days. I want to hear his voice with clarity. I want to hear his voice with direction, with certainty. I don't want to second guess it. I want to know what he's telling me. John 10:3 says this, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice. Hear that? They come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And after he has gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. You see, if you know him, you'll know his voice. And we have to endeavor to know his voice. The other thing is this, sometimes we don't hear him because we're out of position. We haven't positioned ourselves to know him. In football, if something happened, the coach would always say, you're out of position. And because I was out of position, I wasn't able to make the play. When you're in position, you can make the play. But if you're out of position, you're not going to be able to make the play no matter how good athlete you are. What I mean by that is position yourself to hear his voice. Don't be out of position. If you're playing linebacker, you shouldn't be on the goal line if you're on the 30-yard line. You need to be right in the middle of the field looking and seeing what's going on, right behind the line of scrimmage. And that's the thing. Don't get out of position. Be where God wants you to be so that he can speak to your heart and you can hear what he's saying in a greater sense. I think one of the greatest ways that we can listen better and hear his voice is to monitor our social media. Talked to a youth pastor this week and he said, you know what, Pastor Blaine? He said, I got rid of social media and a lot of my anxiety and depression went away. He said, I was so wrapped up in it. I mean, there's InstaScam, there's Facebook, Crap Chat. I have nicknames for all these because that's what they are. And they drowned out the voice of God. And they don't allow you and I to hear his voice. I'm telling you, monitor that. My daughter-in-law, she said the other day, she was on Snapchat or on Instagram, and she was on there, and pretty soon, Charlie Kirk's murder came up. She didn't look for it. She didn't ask it. She sees it right there, right in front of her face. She deleted it right then. She deleted her account right then. She says, I'm done with this. I'm not going to be exposed to this. I'm not going to subject myself to this. Because what it does, it's a distraction of the voice of God in your life. I'm telling you, why are we so messed up? Have you ever kind of thought about it? That it's been since all of these platforms have been poured out upon our culture and our society? For the most part, we're not better off because of it. We're really not. So I want to encourage you, if you need to get rid of it because you're not able to really monitor it or take it in doses, get rid of it, man. It's not worth it. It's not worth you and I not being able to hear the voice of God. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're weary. You can't hear the voice of God. Maybe there's sin in your life. You're wondering, God, why can't I hear your voice? Well, if you're still messing with stuff and you're not willing to lay it down, you're not willing to put down the flesh and get rid of some habits that have been detrimental to your growth and development, why would the Lord speak to you if you're not going to obey him, if you're not going to do what he tells you to do? So I want to encourage you, do those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, Paul said that God reveals his plans to us through his Spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important these days, you guys. We got to be filled with the Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, what's holding back the Antichrist? The Spirit of God. So wouldn't you want to know the Spirit of God more than and hear his voice more than ever before? Absolutely. And then third, so know him, listen to his voice, and number three, do what he says. So number one, say this with me, know him. Number two, listen to him. And number three, do what he says. You willing to do that? You willing to do what he says? Let's talk about that for a moment. When we talk about doing, we're talking about staying devoted or intentional with our actions. John 9:4 says this, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us, because it's night, and when night is coming, we can no longer work. You see, there's going to be a day when we're going to rest from our labors, but it's not right now. We got to work, and we got to do what he calls us to do. Have you ever noticed that when I'm not working, I get in trouble? When I'm not busy, I find myself getting into all kinds of mischief. I need to stay the course, stay focused, stay dialed into what I'm called to do. And many times we don't work because we're preoccupied with doing what we want to do. Or maybe we're not sure what to do. We're just kind of not sure what we should put our hand to do or how we should work. Or maybe we're afraid we'll mess up or we won't get it right if we do work. Maybe we're unmotivated. Maybe we are diligent in the wrong areas. Like we're working, but we're working in the wrong. Have you ever been working on a project and you realize that thing was either obsolete or it wasn't necessary anymore? And you put all the time and effort into it and resource into it, and you realize, why did I do that? Don't get caught that way in your faith with Christ and your walk with Him. Do what's necessary and use your time, your talents, and your treasures to make people's lives better. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 9:10 says. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And so many times, we don't understand that being where He wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do is the greatest thing that we can do next to knowing Him. Where He wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do. So the other day I was in the gym, and I went in to wash my hands, and I looked over and I heard this noise, and I looked over in the toilet, and there was a guy that was down. He was on his knees and he was hugging the toilet, and he was like throwing up bad. I was like, wow. Like, you don't see that very often anymore, you know? And I knew, I didn't think he had the flu. I didn't think he was sick. I realized that he was sick because he'd been working out so hard. I mean, he had, you know, plastic on and stuff, and this guy's really putting it in. I thought, hey, dude, are you okay? He's like, yeah, man, I'm all right. So I went out, and I got a little towel, and I put some clean water on it, you know, and took it in there to him. Being at the right place at the right time, not a big deal, but being a blessing wherever you are, whether it be giving a word of encouragement, praying for somebody, giving somebody something, helping somebody out. It could be anything that God puts you in the path to do. It could be something small. Listen, there is no task too small in the kingdom of God. It's all important, all of us working together to make people's lives better. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says this, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. You know, the Lord told me a while back, I was kind of whining around and complaining about things, and I felt like the Lord said, you know what, you work for me. It's like, whoa, yes, sir, I work for you. Now, that's not a get-off-the-hook thing. You work for God, there's a stricter judgment and more required. But won't He help us if we're working for Him? We're trying to please Him. We want to do what He wants us to do. Listen, be kind to people. Share an encouraging word with people. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, wake up in the morning and say, Lord, who do you want me to touch today? What do you want me to do today, Lord? Whose life do you want me to impact? Put somebody, have you ever prayed that? Like, Lord, put them across my path. And then when they come across our path, we don't always recognize it, do we? If you're like me. Colossians 4:17 says, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like, be available to bless people, to share your faith with them. How you got saved, how God changed your life, Encourage them, build people up, give them a compliment. All those things contribute to the kingdom of God. You know, it's interesting as we bring this to a close today that 1st and 2nd Thessalonians are letters that were written about the end times, you know, about the second coming of Jesus and being ready for his return. And did you know that in each of these books, or these letters, excuse me, there is an encouragement or a command to work. Listen to what it says. Make it your goal, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 4:11, make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands. Wow, that would keep a lot of us out of trouble, wouldn't it? Lead a quiet life. What does that mean? Don't be getting all up in other people's business. Mind your own business and work. Keep your head down. Work. Do what God's called you to do. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and to work and to earn your own living. You see, many of us are worried about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, end times, all this stuff. But you know what? Do that and you won't have to worry about any of that. If you know God and you're listening to his voice and you're doing his will, you're going to be fine if and when the Antichrist reveals himself. The mark of, we're all worried about the mark of the beast. Listen, you keep busy. You keep your head down. Worry about your heart. Worry about knowing him more and hearing his voice and all that other stuff. It'll take care of itself if you do those three things. He who endures to the end will be saved. Amen? Let's stand together. How many of us are going to endure to the end? How many of you are going to know him more? You're going to make it a priority. I'm going to say this to some of you saints that have been in the Lord for a long time. You don't know everything. So sit at his feet. Be in his presence. You got more to learn, and I want to tell you something else. You got more to do. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Some of you young people, you need to listen to the voice of God. You need to put him first so that all the other stuff can be drowned out so you can really hear his voice. Amen? So we're going to know him, we're going to listen to him, and then what are we going to do? We're going to do what he says. You and I are going to do what he says. So Lord, help us to be that way, I pray today, Father. There's a great reward waiting for us, which means that we'll be saved. It's a great privilege. We're looking forward to it. So I pray we'd be faithful to do that today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now,